go to smarter.aq-iq.com and click register to sign up for your free account, which includes our AQIQ Make My Revenue Smarter newsletter.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Coder, episode 15 for July 3rd, 2017. Thank you for being here today. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
I'm very eager to get started, and I'm going to just go ahead and start with an inpatient rehab question. Ready?
Okay.
All right. This one is from Ilana in Arizona. She says, we have a patient with juvenile RA who had a right hip replacement a year ago, and now they've come to rehab for left THA. Should the IGC be RA6.1 or unilateral hip replacement 8.51 with etiologic unspecified juvenile RA of the left hip? The patient now has bilateral hip replacement. We're torn about the correct IGC in this case.
All right, so in this case, because the patient's in rehab after a left hip replacement, the correct IGC would be 8.51 status post unilateral hip replacement, and the etiologic would be the juvenile RA of the left hip, which you can find on CMS's website and at AQIQ.com, says not to use the arthritis IGC for rehabilitation immediately after joint replacement, even if the procedure was performed secondary to arthritis. Instead, we're told to use the joint replacement impairment code, which in this case would be the 8.51, and then to use the ICD-10 code for the arthritis as the etiologic diagnosis.
Thank you. Thank you. I always love how you outline that and make it much more clear. Well, let me hop into the next question. This one's from a hospital. It's from Ida in Georgia. And some of you will remember, Ida, she won our Coffee with the Coder Cup a few weeks ago. This one says, if the doctor doesn't specify what type of something, say maybe pancreatitis, can we use idiopathic if that is a type offered, or do we have to use unspecified? We get denials when we use unspecified.
Okay, so unfortunately, the answer to this is no, because as coders, we can't make clinical choices. Now, what that means is because the provider has not given the specific type, we would have to use that unspecified code. Now, you can query the physician for a more definitive diagnosis, and if they provide you with those details, then you could use that to code a more specific code. But we cannot code what we do not know. Now, the ICD-10 2017 guidelines tell us that signs or symptoms and unspecified codes have acceptable and even necessary uses, while the specific diagnosis codes should be reported when they are supported by available medical record documentation and clinical knowledge of the patient's health condition. There are instances when signs and symptoms or unspecified codes are the best choice for accurately reflecting the healthcare encounter. Each healthcare encounter should be coded to the level of certainty known for that encounter. If a definitive diagnosis has not been established by the end of the encounter, it would be appropriate to report codes for signs and symptoms in lieu of a definitive diagnosis. And when sufficient clinical information isn't known or available about a particular health condition to assign a more specific code, it's acceptable to report that appropriate unspecified code. So, for example, when a diagnosis of pneumonia has been determined, but not the specific type, you would use that unspecified pneumonia code. Now, unspecified codes should be reported when there are codes that are most accurately reflecting what's known about the patient's condition at the time of that particular encounter. The guidelines go on to tell us that it would be inappropriate to select a specific code that is not supported by the medical record documentation or to conduct medically unnecessary diagnostic testing in order to determine a more specific code.
Thank you. That was very clear. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to hop back over to the inpatient rehab. Tiffany from Arizona writes in, and I'm not sure. I think I may have addressed the Tiffany question before, but I could be mistaken. This one, she says, I'm working on a case for a patient who was seen in the emergency room with a humeral fracture that was treated non-operatively. The patient was discharged home from the ER, but was having difficulty caring for themselves, and they developed nausea and vomiting at home. 3 days later, they returned to the ER, had developed dehydration, AKI, and hypokalemia, and they were admitted. So then the patient was admitted to the rehab unit from the acute care. We chose an IGC of 8.9 other ortho with an etiologic of the humeral fracture. The coder suggested the etiologic would be S42.202B, as in David. But I'm wondering if A would be more appropriate. The patient has not received inpatient rehab for the fracture in the past. Does it matter that they discharged home before coming to rehab? And if A is more appropriate, what would be the best way to explain it to the coder?
Okay, so if this is a new acute fracture and the fracture care is still in the active phase and it was documented as the reason for admission, the A would be the appropriate seventh character for the IRFPI etiologic. However, if the active management of the fracture is completed and the patient is truly coming to rehab for follow-up, it would be that seventh character D. Now, my take on all of this is that if the physician made the argument that the patient's underlying reason for rehab was the acute fracture, which had not received the care necessary to promote healing, an argument could definitely be made for the seventh character A. Now, I can certainly understand the coder's position as the patient went home and it appeared the physicians were releasing the active management of that new fracture, and your physician would need to describe the details of the ongoing fracture care rather than aftercare to report the A, the EDO with the seventh character of A. Now, either way, with an IGC of 8.9 or an etiologic with a seventh character of D, it's not going to be a 60% qualifier. Now, in general, in regards to the etiologic and principal diagnosis with seven character extensions, there's likely going to be a variance you're going to see between the UB and the IRFPI for rehab. Most of the time, not always, but in general, you're going to see the seven character D on the UB, and on the IRFPI, it's going to be an A. Now, as I said, this is not always the case. Sometimes, like if we have an open fracture, for example, it would be a B or a C, or we might use an S if the injury produces sequela and not a new injury, or another seventh character for a malunion or a nonunion. Now, taking all that into consideration, comorbidities are a little different with seventh characters. If the injury happens before the admission to rehab, we're going to use the D on both the IRFPI and the UB. So, for example, if the patient had a comorbidity of a non-displaced fracture of the third metatarsal of maybe the right foot, so they broke their toe, and they come into rehab with that condition, with their toe already broken, then we would code that on the UB and the IRFPI with the D7 character. However, if that same injury were to happen during the IRF admission or while the patient was on the rehab floor, then that comorbid diagnosis would end with an A on both the UB and the IRFPI. Now, having said all of that, this all is contingent on the fact that the reason for admission is not the debility caused from the dehydration or the acute kidney injury, etc., but rather the focus of care being the continuation of the new fracture care versus the fracture aftercare. But I'm sure you've already considered all of that.
Thank you, Heather. I think we have time for one more, okay? So I'm going to stay in the IRF, but I'm going to move across the country to Pennsylvania, where Deborah has a question. She says, I didn't initially code this account, but I did finalize it. The coder had submitted G46.4 as the etiology. After I reviewed the account to finalize it, I realized that that code is a manifestation code. I queried the physician for further specificity on the non-traumatic brain dysfunction, and he said he couldn't specify it further, as that was all he got from the transferring hospital. I couldn't really get a code for that wasn't another manifestation code. So I settled on G93.89, and that gave me an edit that said I needed to pick a code from the I-60 to I-69 code set. Looking at the coding path, you have to choose between heredity or stroke. If I query him again, I don't think the physician knows any more than was already documented. The patient was originally thought to have Guillain-Barré, but that was ruled out, and subacute cerebellar syndrome was found to be the problem. I'll query the subacute cerebellar syndrome for his opinion on if it's hereditary versus stroke, but I'm concerned that he will say he doesn't know, and I want to make sure if he doesn't know, I'll follow my index and use hereditary. Am I correct in my thinking? And she notes that syndrome cerebellar hereditary, G11.9, is a non-manifestation stroke, and G46.4 is a manifestation. The coding path says that cerebellar syndrome specified as first hereditary or then as stroke.
Okay, now this was a bit of a tough one, and our team had to really put some research in. But based on our research, subacute cerebellar syndrome with no stated cause would be reported with the G93.89. And based on your scenario, there's no statement of a more definitive diagnosis such as cerebellar ataxia and no association to any other conditions like a stroke, so G93.49 would be correct. And in regards to the edit, ICD-10 does not require a code from I-60 to I-69 to be reported with G93.89.
Thank you, Heather. And thank you, everyone who has submitted questions. I am now stirring up all the names of the people who have entered the drawing, and I want to tell you who's going to win the cup for today. So let's give that just a second and spin them all around, and let me pull it out, and we'll see today's winner. Oh, my goodness. Second time, Ida from Georgia. Congratulations, Ida. We're excited that you won today. And thank you, everyone, for joining. We look forward to hearing you or seeing you on episode 16, which in 2 weeks, July 17th.